الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال تعالى: كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. My dear respected elders and brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu reminded us about four critical things that we need to continuously remind ourselves about over and over again. In this ayat of Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everyone shall taste death. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. And only on the day of resurrection will you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is moved and removed away from the fire and entered into Jannah, only that person is successful. And the life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about four things. The first one is that every living thing will die. Subhanallah, we get this reminder every single day. Today as I speak to you, last night our brother Omar Ekteen's brother passed away. Sheikh Omar Ekteen's brother passed away last night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive his sins and grant him Jannatul Firdaus subhanahu bi ghayri hisab, and give sabr to his family. This is a reminder that comes to us every single day. The second thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us was that the final reckoning is on the day of judgment and nobody will escape that. The third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about is about the standard of success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the standard of success is not as we see it here, but to be freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah. And the fourth thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about is the deception of this world, which takes us away from these realities. The key is to recognize the deception of this world and to treat it the way it should be treated. And that is as a place to create the kind of akhirah that we want. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't tell us to reject the world. He told us to use this world as a farmer uses his fields, to grow crops that are beneficial for him. Remember that whether a farmer cultivates his field or not, something will grow in it. The rule of life is that a garden that is untended, a field that is uncultivated, a mind that is not trained, a car that is not taken care of, children who don't have the benefit of tarbiyah, a body that is not nurtured, all tend towards negative. Have you ever seen an untended garden growing beautiful roses on its own? Have you ever seen anybody who eats like there is no tomorrow and considers changing his mind to be exercise, building muscles on his own? Have you ever seen someone who never reads suddenly become a great scholar? Have you ever seen anything good happen without effort? This is not accidental. This is due to what we call the second law of thermodynamics, which is called entropy. The law that everything tends towards disorder. Entropy is not a mistake. Entropy is our default. If we don't want things to deteriorate, we must make an effort to maintain our health, our relationships, our careers, our skills, knowledge. To maintain societies and possessions requires never-ending effort and vigilance. Disorder is our default. Order is always artificial and temporary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned entropy and told us that by His mercy He saves us from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In Surah Yusuf, Allah said, and I free myself, Yusuf alayhi salam says, I free myself from the blame. Verily, the human self is inclined to evil. I do not free myself from blame. Verily, the human self is inclined towards evil, except when my Rabb bestows His mercy upon whom He wills. Verily, my Rabb is oft forgiving, most merciful. It is in this context that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the standard of success and reminded us about the four things that I mentioned above. The first one is that every living thing will die. There are no exceptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that there is only one certainty in life, and that is death. When a child is born, there is only one thing you can say with total certainty about that child, and that is that one day it will die. You can't predict whether the child will be healthy or sick, rich or poor, learned or ignorant, good or evil, beautiful or ugly. The only thing you can say with total certainty is that one day it will die. The same is true of all of us at any age. Going forward, the only accurate prediction that you can make about me is that one day I will die. Everything else is uncertain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His protection from all evil. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to remind us about something that is so obvious? The problem with things that are obvious is that they tend to get ignored, especially those that are so critically important in our lives. For example, how many of us are aware and consciously enjoy the clean air we breathe in this country? As you take a breath, do you have this consciousness, I'm breathing clean air? We come from countries where this is a figment of the imagination, then doesn't exist. Do we enjoy that? Do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? Are we aware of the fact that in most places you can drink water safely straight out of a tap? Or are you aware of the fact that you do not need elaborate security systems in your homes? Go to South Africa, you'll know what I'm talking about. Or that you can safely go to work and return without another thought. People at home are not sitting and wondering whether you will come back home or not. I can add to this list, but let me invite you to add to your own list and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each of them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, three things that we need to be grateful for in every calamity and tribulation. Listen carefully. He's not talking about blessings. He's talking about calamities. He's talking about difficulties. He says there are three things that we need to be grateful for in every calamity and every tribulation. The first one is that it is not worse. It could have been worse. Whatever it is, it could have been worse. And we don't have to look too far away to see what worse means. There are enough examples of other people to whom the same things are happening, but much worse. The second thing to be grateful for, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, is that it is a matter of the dunya and not of the deen. What if we lose our faith? We lose our money, we can still make money. What if we lose our faith? What if we become the victim of shubuhat and shukuk and we lose our faith completely gone? What then? And he said the third thing to be grateful for, that this calamity happened in this dunya and it is not a calamity of the akhirah. Now see the foresight and see the perspective of those who learned the deen from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Three things to be grateful for in every calamity. One, that it could have been worse. Two, that it is a matter of the dunya and not of the deen. And the third one is that it's a matter of this life and not a matter of the akhirah. There was a study done, there was an experiment done in Davis with depressed people, and the exercise was very simple, and I suggest that exercise for all of us, inshallah. You don't need to be depressed to do this exercise. They did that with people who are clinically depressed. And the exercise was, they told them every morning, get up and write down 10 things that you need to be grateful for. 10 things, whatever it is, no matter how small, how big, 10 things that you need to be grateful for. They said, wake up every morning and write down 10 things that you need to be grateful for. In a period of 1 month, they found that those people were coming out of depression. Just being conscious of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, talking about the issue of death, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, when will be the last hour? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what preparation have you made for that? He said, my only preparation is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be with the one you love. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that we were never happier than that time when we heard these words. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be with the one you love. And he said, I hope I will be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah, even though I have not acted like them. And this is in Muslim. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, that when we know something is going to happen, it makes sense to prepare for it. I quote also Steve Jobs. I was reading some of his last speeches. Very interesting. He says, death is life's change agent. He said, it's the single best invention of life. It clears the old to make way for the new. He says, remembering that I will be dead soon is the most important tool that I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about is that the final reckoning and reward will be on the Day of Judgment. And everyone will be paid in full for what they do, both good and bad. There is no escape for anyone, and so there is no need for despair seeing people doing things and getting away with them. Nobody gets away. Nobody will be spared. Everyone will be paid. All good will be recompensed and all evil will be punished except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive. This is a reminder for us to continue to work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and not get sidetracked either by momentary applause or criticism. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, if you don't want to be hurt by unfair criticism, don't feel happy with unfair praise. If you don't want to be hurt by unfair criticism, do not feel happy with unfair praise. Our tendency is that when people flatter us, when people praise us beyond what we know we are, we feel very happy. And then somebody criticizes us and maybe that criticism is not deserved, we feel very hurt and upset. Imam Shafi said, don't do both. Don't feel happy about unfair praise and you will not feel unhappy about unfair criticism. Focusing on the reward inspires us to work for it. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, she said, the 2 rak'at before the Fajr Salah are better than this world and all it contains. She quoted from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who said that the 2 rak'at before Fajr Salah are better than this world and all that it contains. The key is to pray with that awareness. And the same applies to all our actions. Act only to please Allah and look forward for reward only from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention to this fact that the reward for everything is with Him and that everyone will get his reward, so that we can focus on the important things in life and not get distracted by the deception of shaitan. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you of the third thing which Allah reminded us in this Ayatul Karima, which is success, the standard of success. The standard of success is to be admitted into Jannah and to be freed from the fire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free us from the fire. Allahumma ajina minan nar. And we ask Allah to give us Jannah without hisab, inshaAllah. My brothers and sisters, this reminds us that success is not to be measured in dollars or land or possession or health or strength or beauty or career ranks or political power, but in deeds. It's not how much you have, but what you do with what you have, which will count with Allah. If value of possessions meant success, then Firaun had more than Musa alayhi salam. Nimrod had more than Ibrahim alayhi salam. Herod had more than Isa alayhi salam. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Khusro of Persia and Heraclius of Byzantine all had more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Value of possessions does not mean success. Even in the world, if you look at the people who are remembered with honor, who had more material wealth? Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, Abdul Sattar Idi, or Mukesh Ambani, Jeff Bezos, Michael Jackson, or whoever else you want to think about, who had more money, who is remembered with more honor. Popularity means nothing. Name and fame of this world means nothing. Especially when we know that all of this can be manipulated and is manipulated on WhatsApp and on Facebook and on Instagram and everything else. So what you're seeing is not even real. What value does it have? In a race, if you get distracted by the crowd with what they are chanting, you will certainly lose the race. You need to concentrate only on one thing, and that is the finish line. Forget everything else. So also in life, if you allow what people say, or if you look for the approval of people, you will lose the race. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval means everything, and it is the only thing which matters. And Allah knows. Allah does not look to see what you did on Facebook. Allah knows. For us Muslims, it is important to remember that the finish line for everyone is in the Akhirah. It is there that final success or failure will be decided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this very clear, and He told us what the criterion of success will be. Freedom from the fire and entry into Jannah. Nothing else matters. If we have all the trappings of worldly success, but we miss Jannah, our life has been a failure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes before our eyes are opened for us by Malakul Maut, and save us from the deception of shaitan, who advises us to chase the dunya at the expense of the akhirah. How many times have we seen somebody who was pacing himself in a race suddenly come out from behind and overtake the leaders? Looking at the position of runners in the middle of a race and deciding who is winning is a dicey proposition. The race is only decided at the end of the track, not in the middle. And our race ends when we meet Allah. The last thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about is the life of this world is a deception, which seeks to draw our attention on it and away from the akhirah. The life of this world is a deception, and it is very powerful because it's very real. In 1998, I think it was, I first saw a 3D movie. It was in San Francisco, and the movie was about sharks. I recall vividly how it felt. I was sitting in the theater wearing 3D glasses, and it was so real that I had to keep reminding myself that what I was seeing was an illusion. I am sure that if someone had measured my pulse and BP and taken ECG and EEG readings, they would all have been very high. Thanks to the excitement of seeing a shark coming straight out of the screen at me. But that was not real. No matter how real it seemed, it was a deception. And that is why people say don't take young children to 3D movies, because they don't have the cognitive ability to differentiate between illusion and reality. We are like little children in this world. We seem to have lost the cognitive ability to decide and decipher between reality and illusion. And this world is an illusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us that this is also the state of the dunya. And we need to develop this ability to distinguish the illusion from the reality, or we get lost in it. And that is the reason why we need the wahi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our success measured by what we own is not success. If it came through interest-based earnings, it is failure, not success. Our power and authority, if it is not tempered by justice and compassion, is failure, not success. Our health and wealth and influence, if not earned and used according to Allah's rules, which means the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is failure, not success. Our knowledge, including religious knowledge, if it produces arrogance instead of humility in our heart, it is failure, not success. This is the deception of the world which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against. Michael Harry of Motorola, the man, the author of Six Sigma Quality Standard, he said, if you want to know what somebody values, see what they measure. If you want to know what someone values, see what they measure. Because what we measure, we can control and we can guarantee. What we don't measure is an accident. To know something, we need metrics. We need to measure, and we need to measure accurately. But before we measure, we must first check and recalibrate the measuring instrument, because even a malfunctioning instrument will measure, but it will measure inaccurately. Let me ask you a question. You don't need to answer it loudly to me, but answer it for yourself. What is your net worth for each of you? What is your net worth? The total value of what you own. How much is that? Keep a figure in your mind and then ask yourself, will this go with me when I die? If it won't, if you are going to leave this behind, what do you call something you leave behind? Loss or worth? So your net worth, is it net worth or is it net loss? Which one is it? That's what I mean by accurate measurement. Abu Maysara radiallahu anhu narrated from Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha that they had slaughtered a sheep. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned and asked, what remains of it? Aisha radiallahu anha said, nothing remains of it, ya Rasulullah, except its shoulder, which he had kept for him. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of it remains except the shoulder. And this is in Tirmidhi. This is the meaning of deception of this life. To recalibrate our instrument, and our instrument is our heart. Our measuring instrument, the metrics are generated in our heart. We need to recalibrate our heart. That what we send ahead is our real wealth. What we leave behind is what we will be called to account for, illa mashallah. It is a potential liability, not a gain, not a loss, not worth, not something which is an asset. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from accounting, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from accounting. what we send ahead will remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it will increase. And that is our real wealth, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return to us in keeping with His majesty and grace. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَعَظَمَ أَجْرًا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means that whatever good you send before you for yourselves, you will certainly find it with Allah better and greater in reward. And seek forgiveness of Allah. Verily Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. To recognize this and to live our lives in a way that builds our assets is to see through the deception of this life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and to help us to see the reality and not be deceived by shaitan. We have a couple of things before I end. The first one is we make dua for Brother Omar Ekteen's brother who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sins and to give him Jannatul Firdaus ala bighairi hisab. We also make dua for our brother Abdul Rashid, who is involved in an accident in Connecticut and he is in ICU. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him and to completely cure him and bring him back home safe and sound, inshaAllah. There is nothing that is not in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in keeping with His power and majesty and grace, whatever be the case with the man, it is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely cure him, relieve his pain and suffering and bring him back home safe and sound, inshallah. The other thing is a reminder for all of us as far as the coronavirus is concerned. Firstly, there is no need to panic because life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And panicking is not going to help anybody. But what we need to do is to take precautions. That is very important. While we do not panic, we also do not treat it as if it is nothing. No, it is serious. We need to be careful about this. Basic hygiene. Wash your hands. It is not communicated just like that out of the air. It communicates if there is contact, which is either personal contact or because of coughing and sneezing, droplets fall on your face or on your hand and so on. Droplets fall on common surfaces like banisters, door handles, and so on and so forth, whatever we touch. And those viruses remain active sometimes for 48 hours. So it's important whenever you go out to wash your hands or to use desanitizers with 60% alcohol or more. So, as long as you're washing your hands, inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you safe. Number one. Number two, never touch your nose or face with your hands unless you have washed them. It's a very, reflex action. So, be conscious of that. Don't do that. Don't touch your nose or face without having washed your hands. Third thing is, let me teach you. I'm going to teach you something called the air hug. So after Juma, like this, right? Just do this. Inshallah, it will communicate your love for your brother. Don't touch them. Don't hug them. Don't kiss them. Don't rub ears. Don't rub noses, please. Don't even shake hands, right? Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's going on. Do not touch anybody. Just go and say, Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, this is sufficient. Don't touch anyone. Wash your hands. As far as possible, avoid all crowded places. As far as possible, if you need to travel, only travel. Otherwise, don't travel. And anyone who feels sick and the symptoms are fever, it is cough, and it is any usual flu kind of symptoms, stay home. Contact your medical service provider, contact your doctors, and then follow their advice. Don't go to work. Stay home. Don't spread the thing. It's important. Each one of us needs to be responsible for ourselves, to protect ourselves and to protect others. This is also part of our responsibility. There are many ahadiths in this context. I don't want to take your time telling you all of that. Just take my word for it. Inshallah, we keep ourselves away. If there is any symptom, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of you and all your people who are with you, your children and everything from this virus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure everyone who's sick. May Allah subhanahu subhanahu wa ta'ala take away the pain and suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away the anxiety of people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you in ways that you cannot imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you muttaqeen and remove you from your difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become sufficient for you in every way. May Allah protect you from all the evil of this world that you know and that you don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of His rahmah and His maghfirah for us when we meet Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on His house. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the beautiful water of Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us safely across the sirat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and enter us into Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala bi ghayri hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His didar, for His ruya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His pleasure in this dunya wal akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased, and to accept all our ibadat in every way that we do, and to enable us to do more and more to please Him as long as we live, and to take us in a state of iman and yaqeen, and to give us the kalima as the last thing that we speak before we die. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Ya ibadallah rahimakumullah. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أخي مسلم.